Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. And now it's time for Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Coleman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Coleman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself, and no lawyer on this show actually helped write that disclaimer. And now, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Metherly.
Welcome back to another edition of Understanding the Law Triple Threat in studio. Little D, Big D, and marvelous Melvin Hastings, Coleman attorney. Call him Alabama.
Call me Alabama. Hey, what is that? I was just thinking the ending of that song that just played. That's on the NCI, right. Whatever it is on TV, CSI, whatever else. I can't remember what the name of that song is. I actually heard it on the radio.
Probably a Who song, because you know Who did all of the songs for all the CSIs. Could have been.
It may have been, but I heard that song. It's not the Who, because I love the Who. I know who they were, but. The song that they got that from.
All I know is they apparently were not Kiss. But
they were not Kiss. We would have known them.
That sucks, by the way. It should have been. Kiss should have been.
But I
kind of
heard it the other day, and I
really?
Can't remember where they
on
got
the radio?
It from. I heard a song on the radio that had that in it.
It's from
Law and Order. You're right. It is from Law and
yeah,
Order.
That's what I was about to say, Law and Order.
Yeah. I'm so confused. I have no idea what y'all are talking about.
Hey, look, what if one night on Law & Order they say, Big D, Daryl Netherly.
And they got your name right.
Yes. Daryl Netherly.
You'd be
Law & Order. I would, man. I'd be jumping up and down.
Tomorrow's National Signing Day for football. College football is just all the way around. It's just.
I know.
Before we get started, can we all say happy birthday to Daryl's sister, Darlene?
Oh, yeah, my sister's birthday today. Happy birthday, Darlene. I love you very much. You are, I'm not going to tell how old you are. Don't worry. So, look, if you know my sister, Darlene, she works at the Busy Bee Cafe. So, y'all swing by tomorrow and say belated happy birthday.
She's not as old as you are.
Yo, yes, she is. Yes, by several years. Thank you.
So who won the fights when y'all was fight? Did she?
No, I mean, I was the baby. What are you talking about? I was the baby of the family. But I still got my tail whooped, though, so. Let me tell you something. So my sister, she would fight, okay? Like, she would fight at the drop of a penny. So we were living, of course, in the bad part of the hood off Finley Avenue when we had moved back from Chicago. And so there was this little boy that was ganging up on my brother, which was like two years younger than my sister. Well, you know, granted, we live in the ghetto projects because that's just how it was. And so here comes the little boy over. My sister got on that young man and wore him out, beat him like you would not believe. So. That was funny. She's a mean old coot.
She established who was in control.
Yes.
That's my corner.
That's it, Melvin.
She sent a message to everybody.
It's Darlene Nethery, and Dad says hi.
Darlene Nethery. Hey, Dad, how are you on Facebook land? You know, Dad, you need to come in one day, and we'll let you talk politics. Man, my dad's all about some politics now. Oh, man.
He'll be getting fired up, man.
He will.
Friday, you know, Friday's qualifying, the end of qualifying, so we'll have to see who all is going to run for what and where it's going to head up at.
Because, you know, I think, you know, I had Robert Claraday in here last Thursday night. He's running for a sheriff of Morgan County. And I think he told me just on the Republican Party there were six people running.
For Morgan County
yes.
Sheriff?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, everybody wants to be sheriff in Morgan County for some reason.
Well, I think they realize that's probably a seat that can be taken. So, you know, right. The more of them that runs, it kind of changes the aspects. You're trying to be first or second, and that's it. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
It's not about winning the race. It's about I want to be in that runoff. Got to be in the runoff.
Got to be in the runoff and get.
You know, and a lot of times it turns out you want to be second,
right?
Because all the other ones get mad at who the winner is, and they kind of get the support for the second guy sometimes. So it's crazy.
But man, that's just crazy to have that many people in a race. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I guess what they, you know, look, if I'm going to get Sheriff Morgan County, I'm buying everybody some McDonald's biscuits, and
let's
all
go to court.
What's that coming from?
Let's go make some law now. Yeah, some law. Bow. I say we go to court. Yes, let's go to court. We're a bunch of assholes who take.
What did that come from?
I don't think I can say that.
What did that come from?
Bunghole.
Guys, you don't know me and Johnny are watching you. Hi.
Only Jay Fuller would pull that out.
That is great. He's listening
okay,
to that
so
song.
I'm sure y'all have heard of Seth MacFarlane, Family Guy, et cetera, et cetera. Right. That was off one of his TED movies. I happened to watch when snowed in a week or two ago, and I thought when y'all were making fun of that song, I'm like, I know I can find that on YouTube. It's got to be out there somewhere.
Hey, was that little teddy bear?
Yes, yes.
Look, I watched that movie. Look, no, seriously. So I go to the movies to watch it, and I debated on taking my youngest daughter. And I didn't, and I'm so glad I didn't. After I watched the movie, I'm like, that little Ted is a pervert from HELL.
Not a PG movie.
No, it's not. Ted was ready to get in some action. And I think he was smoking weed also in the movie. No wonder he had the munchies.
I tell you a good movie I just watched is, forgot the name, Hostiles. Hostiles, man, that's a good movie.
Never heard of it.
So I have my movie pass. If you don't know what that is, Google it. I think I saw Melvin last time I was at the theater. But yeah, we saw that Super Bowl Sunday night because we were kind of boycotting the Super Bowl.
Yes.
You gotta borrow a heart for that movie because your heart's going to be gone like five minutes into that movie.
Yeah, Hostiles. I know it's a cool movie. It's got Christian Bale in it. And he's like this is in the late 1800s, so he's a cavalry soldier that had to fight the Indians, hates the Indians, and he is charged with moving an Indian that just mutilated soldiers and stuff like that, moving from a prison somewhere over to Montana.
Wow.
And he loses his whole squad. It's just a great Western. It is a cowboy and Indian movie like you've never seen.
You're awesome. You're really angry at one group at the beginning of the movie, and then when you get to the end of the movie, you come full circle. It's
How cool is that?
It is an awesome movie.
And you walk out of the movie going, who was the bad guy? They were all the bad guys.
This is another reunion going on.
Screw the law. We're going to talk about movie reviews.
Talk about movies and recruiting and Super Bowl. Hey, so Jay boycotted the Super Bowl?
I didn't watch it.
You didn't either?
No, I did not. I don't even know what happened.
I boycotted NFL because I thought it was ridiculous what they was doing, but I did watch the Super Bowl, and that was one heck of a game. I know it. It was an awesome game, but I still boycott the NFL.
Yeah.
I know it.
I will. I can't stand the NFL now, nor will I ever respect it. So that's just the way I roll.
I've lost respect for them, but it was a good game.
Well, you know, and it should be.
Yeah.
I mean, Super Bowl, it should be a heck of a game for the amount of money that you're paying for a freaking seat in there. I can't imagine paying $3,000 to sit there in
the top section.
Yes, nosebleed section. Yeah, that's crazy. Anyway, thanks for my family for being tuned in tonight. I appreciate that, and we'll get Dad up here one day. We got to get Brenda up here. She's wanting to come in. You know, Brenda loves Melvin. She loves to harass Melvin.
She needs to call in.
Alvin needs to call in.
Yeah. Oh, my. So, did you have any court this week?
Yes. It's all... It was criminal cases. It was set this week. We had some. There's motion dockets. There's a lot going on this week. It's kind of like courts getting set now to do stuff. So they've kind of got back in the groove after all the holiday stuff and everything. So next week I think it's grand jury. So what happens with grand jury? They'll call so many people in. I don't know how many. I tell you, there's a case that I got, and we had the circuit clerk, Lisa McSwain, in there, and was talking about getting enough jurors for this particular case that I'm involved in. And she says that she typically sends out 320 notices to for a jury section, okay, for them to come in. And she said, we only get between 80 and 90 out of them. Can you imagine? So, send out 320 summons for people to come in for jury service, and if you're lucky, only about 80 of them show up. Wow.
Now, is that Coleman City and Coleman County?
That
both?
Is Coleman County. It covers Coleman County. If you're in Coleman County, and what happens is, I think it's still based off the driving license. I think it is. So sometimes what happens is people move, so they may not get their summons.
Right, exactly.
Is one thing. Some of them don't live in Coleman no more. Some people may get their summons, but they don't live in Coleman. So if you don't live in Coleman, you can't be on the jury and stuff like that. A lot of people, because I get phone calls almost every time. They're always like, man, how do I get off that jury? I don't want to be on the jury, whatever. I was like, well, you know, call the clerk's office, talk to Lisa, see what she says. You know, if you really have a hardship, they do. You know, for instance, some people has, you know, they have little babies or something they can't, you know, have babysitters for, or they're involved with taking care of their parents or their work. You know, it's such a hardship. So they're pretty good about letting them people off. But, you know, you got to have a certain number to because usually on criminal jury weeks, you know, they focus on one case really, but sometimes, like last week, I think they had a criminal jury week, they have two cases going. So you split up, so you got 80 people that shows up, well, 10 of them's going to be gone because they're going to get up and find an excuse to leave. So you're down to 70, you know, and then, so you got 35 each jury pool. That kind of gives you about 12 strikes. But, you know, sometimes two or three of them know something about the case and get off. So it kind of gets you strikes down. And with certain types of cases, you have to have so many – you have to have so many jurors there. Like a – I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Like a death penalty case, which is one we're talking about. We got to have at least 24 strikes. So there's got to be at least 36 jurors there, you know, that don't know nothing about the case. So you got to get quite a few people.
So let me ask you this. On a percentage-wise – For Coleman, how often is it that somebody's asked for a change of venue?
It's not very often because you're not entitled to a change of venue. A change of venue just means that you're not going to be able to get an impartial jury here. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a case that knows a lot of stuff. Okay, for instance, I know. I mean, and I actually forgot about this case, but there's a case, it's eventually going to be coming up that involves one of the prior county commissioners, okay? So this person is prominently known because he served on county commission a couple of times, whatever else. So he's known out by a lot of people in the community. So you know, you send out 300 notices, you only have 70 people there. Well, how many of those 70 people know him? You know what I'm saying? How many of those 70 people don't want to sit on a jury because they're biased one way or the other and stuff? So that, you know, that may be a case where you say, hey, you know, we'd like to move it to another county. Or some of these, and I've got one right now, some of these cases, it's just, the facts are bad. You know, it's a capital murder case. It's a death penalty case. It's just a bad case. So if there's a lot of publicity, you know, Coleman Times covers it, newspapers cover it, you know, the Birmingham News, whatever, which probably does affect us here, but most of the time, the Coleman Times, the Tribune, and maybe some TV coverage, if you have a lot of it and these people kind of get what they think is they've heard about the case, they've already got their opinions made up, you know, to be fair to them, to be fair to the state of Alabama, and to be fair to the defendant, they really don't need to be on a jury. So sometimes you do a change of venue.
So if you're going to do a change of venue, is it basically going to be in the next town, or is it going to be in Birmingham?
Usually,
who determines where it goes?
Yeah, usually, well, the judge... Okay, you asked me a real technical question now. So if the judge grants the change of venue, then it will get reassigned to another county. Now, I don't know that that judge gets to pick the county. I would think the administrative office of courts in Alabama. They administer the court system in Alabama. The Chief Justice of Alabama is the executive. That's the one over it. So the Chief Justice is a real important job. And then he has, he or she, which is she now, has the, you know, people up under them, whatever else, and some of them work. So I think probably we call them the AOC. I think they probably determine where to send it to. So, but to answer your question, yeah, it'd be usually the next county somewhere. The last, well, sometimes we have, like for instance, in this particular case I was talking about with this commissioner, there's a special judge coming in because all these judges has said, you know what, I need to recuse because I have personal knowledge of this person and whatever else. So we actually have a judge coming in from another county, you know, in here. The last time we have had cases tried here, you know, sometimes the district attorney, their office has a conflict of some sort with this case. So the Alabama Attorney General's office, the Office of Prosecution Services, will send another DA from somewhere, or maybe even somebody from the AG's office will come in and prosecute cases. I was trying to think, when's the last time a Coleman jury's heard another case outside? They probably have. I didn't know about. The one that comes to my mind is Robertelli. Robertelli was charged with killing a woman and like two or three kids out in Winston County, Marion County, somewhere. And that's been quite a few years ago. That's probably been 15 or so years ago. And he killed somebody that was probably pretty well known out there, right. And it just received so much coverage, it's unbelievable. And they actually transferred a case to a Coleman County jury. The Winston County judge, because I remember Judge Adderholt, came out here and tried the case, so that you still get the judge go out here and try the case, but you just have a different jury.
But Melvin, with today's technology that we have,
oh, I know.
I mean, how is it that somebody's not going to know about a high profile case profile case, because it's all over the media?
Yeah, you know, and here's the thing: a lot they do, they know it, and the thing you expect a juror to say is, you know, with your knowledge of it, the facts that you know about it, or the what you heard about it, because it's all facts. Yeah. The hearsay that you know about this case, has that caused you to go ahead and form an opinion in this case? So you expect them, and I believe most of them are pretty well honest about it. Now, they probably, some has a little reservation about it, because, listen, I read cases today. I always try to read up on some of these criminal cases to see, is there something new that we hadn't talked about? Is there some kind of topic that we hadn't talked about in here? And when I read these cases, I form an opinion. I'm like, oh, my God, that's sick. Right. SOB.
Right.
You know, so for instance, I mean, I read the case. You know, they caught the supposed guy that had the picture with the sex abuse of a child going all over Facebook. You familiar with that one?
I've seen it.
They got him. Okay. Or they got who they say it's him. So when I read about him, and I read, you know, he's got multiple accounts in Michigan and other states. So when I read all this stuff, it just makes me cringe. You know what I'm saying? So if I'm sitting on this guy's, from what I've already read about this case, if I'm sitting on this guy's jury, you know, if I'm sitting in his jury pool, I it would be incumbent upon me to be fair to myself, the judge, the court system, everybody else, to say, look, you know, I've done got some pretty good opinions about this guy, and it ain't good. And I wouldn't be a fair juror for this guy. You know what I'm saying? It would be incumbent for me to do that.
Well, I hate to be opposite of you, but you know I am, because I would sit on that pool.
You'd like to sit on that jury. I know. There's some cases, I've got myself, boy, I'd like to be on that jury. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, what comes out, you know, is but that old guy, he's doomed. I mean, they got a video, so he's doomed. He's done.
That's
so
crazy.
Luckily, got him off the streets. If he's done everything he's done, exactly. It's just sickening.
That's a good thing.
Sickening. So
I actually watched some kind of video the other night on Facebook, and it talked about this prisoner, and evidently he had raped a child. And I guess just so, you know, about this, at this time of night, some of the other prisoners heard.
Yes.
That's why he was in there.
Yes.
And they all got him.
Yes, it's bad.
I mean, they wore him out. So here comes the correction officers spraying tear gas on everybody and trying to break him apart. And
yes.
Yeah. Well, you know what? He got what he deserved, so that's my opinion.
You're sticking to it.
Here we go. The views and opinions of Coleman attorney Melvin Hastings and Big D is not the same as the management staff of Live 95.5 because Jay does not agree with anything that I say. So there you go. I done my disclaimer. I can say whatever I want to.
He agrees with some things you say.
Oh, me.
So next week is grand jury week. So I don't know how many people are summoned on that, because on a grand jury, you have 18 people that are on there, but to return a bill of indictment, all you need to indict somebody is 12 of them to vote yes. If you don't have 12 to vote yes, then you're not going to get an indictment on there. So you don't have to have all 18. You just have to have the 12.
12
and well, we was in a meeting with the judge today. We've got, there's like six or seven murder cases that's going to trial here this week, this week, this year in Coleman County. Yeah, it's a bunch of them. Yeah, I know, it's a bunch of them. So a couple of them are traffic homicide manslaughter cases, but they're still murder. But then there's four or five murder cases, five or six probably murder cases actually. So. So we're having a meeting with the judge trying to set up the order. Where are we at? What cases are we going to start trying and stuff like that? And the DA said today that he's got 170 cases to take to the grand jury.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. So I don't know that that means 170 different people, you know, because there are, I mean, there's a guy I went to court for today. He's got six cases pending right now, you know, or six different kinds of charges and stuff. So, so you may have somebody that has four, five, six cases. So it may not be 170 people, but I wouldn't doubt that there's pushing 100 indictments to be coming out next week.
You know, if I had something big like that going on, I really believe I would do this because I'm this anal. I think the night before, I would look in the mirror and I would do a practice shoot with myself. Yeah. Daryl, what are you going to say now?
Yeah. You know, a lot of them, you know, grand juries, it's kind of a, I guess it's different because you don't know, you know, it's so secret. I mean, even nobody can talk about it. Right. I mean, that's what's crazy. Nobody can discuss it, what it is and what is about it. Nobody knows really what it is. But what happens is, I mean, the DA's in there and he brings in officers. Officers bring in cases. You know what I'm saying? That's it, really, because that's the kind of, it's not an adversarial proceeding. It's the state presents enough evidence for a grand jury to return an indictment on somebody. Sometimes they bring live witnesses. You know, they bring a victim in. That's right. not live witnesses. Bring a victim in. But, you know, there'll be a bunch of them be distribution cases or possession cases. So an officer come in and testify, hey, you know, I had sent an informant over there to this guy. He bought dope from me. He bought dope from whatever else. We're asking for three counts of distribution on them. And then they'll indict him. You know, stuff like that. Hey, officer went to the house, did a search warrant, located this. That's what's consistent with manufactured methamphetamine. So they'll find them. There's chemical endangerment of a child. I know there's a couple of them coming because I got a couple of cases like that that's going to probably be presented. And that is that's these females that are pregnant that are get test positive.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, kids get test positive. They get test positive.
Don't get me started on that.
I know. And then you end up with a felony charge, man. You end up with a felony charge.
Now, Melvin, I know you're a seasoned attorney, and you have literally seen it all and you've heard it all. But at any time, whenever you're in the case, and has any of the, you know, the state or whoever. Do they just ask you some questions sometimes and you're like, where did that come from?
Oh, yeah.
No. Yeah. And how do I even answer that? That's so insane. Yeah. Because I would think as an attorney, you hear all kinds
you
of
hear
questions.
All kinds of questions, yeah.
So,
yeah.
But that's why you're an attorney, though, because you can answer them and I couldn't.
I don't know. Some of them we try to find the answers, so. It's always good to have both sides of the story. You know,
right, exactly.
So that's what I always say. You need to know the both sides of the story.
Wow. Man, I love talking about
But they about don't. But like for instance, next week during grand jury, there won't be both sides of the story. You know what I'm saying? They'll hear the state side of the story. They'll return an indictment, or they'll no billet. It's what we call no billet. If they don't feel that there's enough evidence there, and then you know the case is over with. But the ones return indictment, what will happen is all these people that has most of them are probably already charged. They're already in the district court system. They've already been charged, arrested, and they're out on bond, and they're in the district court level. So what happens is they're going to get indicted. When they get indicted, then they're ready for the actual jury trial. So most of them's going to get a notice to be in court on whatever the date's arraignment set, probably end of March. Well, it ain't the end of March. It may be end of March because we'll get jury week March 19th. So maybe end of March, somewhere in the 1st of April, they'll get a notice to be in court on that day, and that's when you go in and plead not guilty. Either determine you got a lawyer or don't have a lawyer.
Right. You know what I don't understand sometimes, Melvin, is it – if we look at Coleman County and how many cases that we need to hear for this month, but yet we've got 66 other counties in the state of Alabama that's going through the same thing. And if you have a lot of people that's getting convicted for prison, how is there not the state of Alabama building new prisons? Because you have to think that it's got to be overcrowded at some point in time because there's so many people getting sent to prison.
Yes.
I don't know.
And look, I mean, you think about Jefferson County, and, you know, and I've not been down in Mobile and Montgomery and seen how much it does, but like Jefferson County, man, it's just day after day. I mean, their grand juries and how many people, and then Jefferson County is divided into, you got Birmingham Division and then you got the Bessemer Division. That whole Bessemer Division is almost like a whole new county itself.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, it's just tons and tons, man. They convict and, I mean, it costs the state a lot of money, man.
I know.
and I go back to like the capital defendants and stuff like that. You know, at some point you have to see how is it. It costs a lot of money to me and the representative had a discussion about this the other day. It costs a lot of money to prosecute capital defendants. I mean, a lot. Hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Wow.
And the state spends a lot of money on it. So you got to make sure, you know, when we're setting somebody up to go to the gas chamber for death penalty, is it really worth it? For instance, let me give you an example. A drug transaction go bad, you walk in somebody's house and drug transaction go bad, you kill them.
Right.
You can be charged capital murder because it's a burglary and a death. Well, exactly. Is it worth spending that kind of money doing it, or do we just prosecute them for murder? So
right, wow. Mm-mm-mm. You know, and so at some point in time, you're thinking, "Hey, look, we need to go to the state prisons and get all these nonviolent pot smokers and give them
and do something
and put them on parole."
That's what happens.
You're listening to Understanding the Law. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better. Whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
This is Ed Harrell, founder of The Kindness Revolution. With all the noise going on social media, it might be wise for us to think for a moment before we post something that we might regret. And why would we regret it? It might cost us a friend. Might be something that we feel strongly about today that we're going to feel differently about sometime later, like when our children might see our comments years from now. It might cost us a job opportunity. Most employers these days check out social media before they make a hire. And it might just cost us our dignity. Now make no mistake about what I'm saying here. We don't necessarily need to change our lean, but perhaps we should change our tone. Remember, what we say publicly identifies who we are. It's our calling card, and it tells the world about us. So let's tell the world that we are courteous, respectful, and thoughtful. It'll make our worlds a little kinder.
We've spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over. We uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Cullman has been looking for. Fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting-edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Cullman area and most Cullman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband, 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web at cyberbroadband.net.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Cullman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Cullman since 1989, Cullman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Cullman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Cullman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Cullman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors only exercise plan at little or no cost. Cullman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit CullmanSportsFit.com.
Attention Cullman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill. Woo-hoo! Hey, we're not kidding. Seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95cullman.com today. Or visit our website, live95cullman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Cullman's independent radio.
The third annual Cullman EMS 911 Chili Cook-Off benefiting Saving Forgotten Warriors is coming up Saturday, February 10th from 11 until 4. This event is a time where those who serve our community can come together for friendly competition and meet the people of the community that they serve. Registration fee is only $10 and open to all law enforcement, firefighters, EMS personnel, and dispatchers. Everyone is welcome to attend and vote for your favorite chili. It's the third annual Cullman EMS 911 Chili Cook-Off, benefiting Saving Forgotten Warriors, Saturday, February 10th from 11 until 4. To register or for more information, call 256-595-4135, 256-595-4135. Don't miss the third annual Cullman EMS 911 Chili Cook-Off benefiting Saving Forgotten Warriors, Saturday, February 10th from 11 until 4.
Welcome back. Live 95 is Cullman's independent radio. You're listening to Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Cullman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Cullman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, once again, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Netherly.
Welcome back to Understanding the Law. Free plug, you have about 24 minutes to go by. Swamp John's at the VFW, I think that's what it's called. Swamp John's, and it's benefiting Saving Forgotten Warriors. So we actually went by and grabbed some food earlier. Oh my
god! Catfish or chicken fingers or what?
All three and shrimp.
All three and shrimp.
And it was good. Stuff, look, every time Swamp John's comes to Coleman, I find it. I'm not lying. Stuff. It is good. And you don't have to cook. So Saving Forgotten Warriors. Make sure you hear about them. And Swamp John's. I think it was from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. So, yeah, you got time to go get you a plate for $12.
And get it to go.
Get your belly full.
Oh, Jeremy's wife just came on.
Who's Jeremy?
Hogan.
Oh, Julie.
Julie.
Hey, Julie. Get your free plug. Compliments of Melvin Hastings.
So what else did I do this week? Something I did today it was a topic that I was kind of wanting to talk about. We've talked about it a little bit more, but I wanted to stress the importance of it. Another case I had today was like it was just on a motion docket, but it was dealing with insurance, uninsured motorists and stuff like that. It's automobile insurance stuff, and I mean, again, it's important, you know. And I have a case. It's actually arised out of Georgia, but man, it's a nightmare because there's so many factors involved in that case, and these people. So the one I represent, he was hit by someone else. That the person that was driving the other automobile was operating someone else's automobile. Okay, so I mean, the story is that they admit to the officer they had just left the bar in Georgia. It's 1:30 at night, so you can imagine their situation.
Yeah.
So they hit this other. They actually hit an 18-wheeler head on. And and he had to swerve off and take out some telephone poles and jackknife. His truck exploded. I mean, it's a crazy deal. But so you got one guy that's driving. He's driving the pickup truck that hit the 18-wheeler, but he is driving someone else's truck. So the one that owns the truck has insurance coverage. He don't have a lot, but he has some insurance coverage. He don't have enough to cover the freight and everything else. And he doesn't have enough to cover the guy representing his injuries because this guy, I didn't get his bill from Grady Hospital. He was in hospital for 7 days and got a $133,000 bill.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a little steep there.
Yes,
so
it is.
So this other guy, he doesn't have enough insurance. He has $50,000 worth of bodily injury, which is not going to touch anything. So he's one insurance. The other insurance company is the actual, so that's the owner of the vehicle. So they're going to pay because, why? Because he allowed someone intoxicated to drive his vehicle and he shouldn't have done it. So he's negligent entrustment.
Wow.
Okay. So you can collect on his insurance. The driver has insurance. So he's covered under insurance. So you can collect under his insurance because he's liable. He's the one that crossed the yellow line and hit the 18-wheeler. So the 18-wheeler, he's driving a truck for someone. So that someone has got insurance. It's not workers' comp insurance. Because he's really an independent contractor, and probably this person probably doesn't have enough employees to even qualify for workers' comp. But he would be covered under his uninsured motorist plan, however much is out there. All right. So this driver, the one I represent, if he had uninsured motorist, which he didn't, and that's what I'm going to get to, he would be able to collect money from them if there wasn't enough other insurance coverage there. And then the owner of the trailer, the freight that he was hauling, has insurance. So you're dealing with all these insurance companies trying to figure out who's going to pay. You know, and so let's go to this driver, because this is the most important thing people need to know. He says, I have insurance for so-and-so insurance company, but he says, I don't think I have uninsured motorists. I was like, you don't? I said, do you remember signing a form? He said, yeah, I think I told him that I didn't want it. You know, I rolled my eyes like, oh, my gosh, y'all need to be educated. People need to be educated about this. It is so – okay, UIM coverage on another case that I've got, the one that I was dealing with today – uninsured motorist coverage, this wasn't a monthly payment. This is the payment. This guy had, this one I dealt with today has five automobiles covered under a Progressive insurance policy. his 6 months premium for uninsured motorists, one vehicle was like $48, one vehicle was $52. I mean, it's chump change. But with that, he gets $25,000 worth of coverage for each one of his vehicles. So when an insurance company, when you get an automobile insurance and they said, you know, the state law requires us to provide you with uninsured motorist insurance, but if you don't want it, you can sign this saying, I don't want it. You know, the question everybody needs to be asking is, how much is it going to cost me? And number one, number two is, why should I not have it? You know what I'm saying? Because right. It's so cheap, and it is money for you because, like in this situation with this guy driving the diesel truck, and in the situation of the case that I was on today, if either one of them didn't, I mean, the one with the day, if he didn't have his uninsured motorist, he would be involved in a wreck and lose money. Wow. He would spend more money on his medical bills. He ain't been able to work. So it is important. Thank goodness he did not decline his uninsured motorist. He's got coverage there. Now then, the truck driver on the case in Georgia did, because he didn't know any better. I don't know. Really, I think that goes back to his insurance agent. His insurance agent should have said, well, look, it's not going to cost you that much more extra, and you really need this in case you get hit by someone that doesn't have insurance. Right. We pick up the medical bills. It don't cover property damage, but we pick up your medical. We pick up medical costs, lost wages, pain and suffering. We pick up that extra cost. You're insured for that stuff. So they talked him out of. I guess they talked him out of it, or he just didn't know any better. And they signed. He signed the form. They sent me the form. Here's his signature.
Was declining it. Driver for a corporation.
Well, he's a private driver, but he's driving for another company. Okay. Hey, I'm going to tell you, man, I learned a lot about about trucking companies with this case, because when you get into that lease operator and who all's responsible for what, man, it gets to be a headache. Yep. This is tough. So lesson number one is, do not, never, ever, ever decline uninsured motorists. The coverage is so, the premium is so minimal, and the coverage is invaluable. You got to have it.
Right.
Okay, so I was like, well, maybe this guy's got at least medical payments coverage. They come in $1,000, $2,000, and $5,000. $5,000 is the most medical payments coverage you get. That's money that can go towards it's only for medical bills, but it's extra money. And sometimes, like for instance, somebody's got a $15,000 or $20,000 medical bill at a hospital. They don't have medical insurance, but they have medical payments insurance. You know, a lot of times I go to that hospital and say, look, I know they got a $20,000 bill. If Medicaid or Medicare or Blue Cross paid you'd probably get $1,200. You'd be lucky if you got $1,600. We've got medical payments coverage for $5,000. Will you take that? Or usually I try to negotiate. Will you take half of it? Will you take $3,500 of it? And a lot of times you'll be surprised. They'll say, yeah, because they get their money, because they're getting twice the amount of money as they'd get from Blue Cross anyway.
Right.
So that medical payments coverage, it was $11 and $10. It was very minimal money on medical payments coverage, again, for a 6 month policy. But the truck driver declined it. The diesel truck driver had declined medical payments coverage too.
Well, the last time I got my insurance, I think it was when I got insurance on the Miata, I asked my agent right then, do I have it?
And
he says, yes, you do.
Yes, it is.
Well, I need to make sure.
It is something important to have.
Exactly.
We have our special guest.
Special guest, Brenda Cuz Parrish, former Coleman County educator, is on the line. Welcome to Understanding the Law.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Do y'all miss me yet?
Yeah, look, I said something about you.
She's had an open invitation, hadn't she?
Yes.
For how long? Months?
6 months.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I know, and I've got basketball season's almost over.
All right.
Poor John David is home he's been sick, and we've treated him like the flu.
Not
so
good.
He's missing the game tonight, so I can't stand here long because I've got to get back to watching the game. Coleman against Fort Payne. But anyway, they're winning at halftime up by six. But
Coleman is? That.
Yes.
Go back.
But anyway, my question is, and this is a personal question, because in May, I had to retire from teaching after 26 years. I have multiple sclerosis, and they also found out, you know, it's an autoimmune disease, but I also, they found out I have no immune system whatsoever. So I go in once a month for infusions that last 3 hours. And if my kids at school got sick, I got sick. They got chicken pox, I got shingles, etc. Well, I applied for disability in first of June and, of course, got denied, which everybody does the first time. Well, I had a lawyer from the beginning. So when I keep trying to call my lawyer and find out, you know, what I can do to try to speed up the process, because financially it's a huge burden on my husband and my family, because I've got a kid in college. There's no, you know, I'm making half my salary plus minus my insurance. And she was just like, no, you know, there's nothing you can do to speed up the process. What I want to know is, why in the hell does it take so long for those of us, that's our money that we paid into, and I've paid into it since 1985. Since I was 16 years old, I've had a job and never been without one. Why does it take so long for them to decide, even when we will have a hearing?
It's the number of cases that's handled. And you have, you know, you have administrative law judges. You know, if you went in front, if you had a hearing, you're in front of an administrative law judge, which is just a private judge that hears these social security disability cases. But I'm going to tell you the answer. It's the applications. It's, I'm going to get on my pet peeve, but it's this generation.
My application was very thorough.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, it's the number of applications. It's this generation of people that wants, I mean, that wants welfare. You know what I'm saying? So unfortunately, it affects the people that needs it. You know, these people.
That's not right.
I know it's not right. I know it's not right.
But can they not look at the work history? Can they not look at that I've had a job since 1985? She's not a slacker. She, you know, and MS, according to them, was not good enough.
Yeah, you know, the answer is they can, but I just don't know that they do. You know what I'm saying? But it's not fair. I know it's not. I know it's crazy. It's not fair for the people that really needs it. And but it's just, it's a generation of people that just comes in and says, hey, you know, I'm going to work, you know, my goal. And I know this personally because these people, I see these people daily. They come and talk to me about stuff and I listen. I don't do insurance. I don't do social security disability work. I've never did a hearing. I don't know. I've helped a couple of people, my buddies, help file their claim, but I've never actually went to a hearing and done whatever else. But I hear people just talking about their situation, you know, and I see stuff. Hey, I go over to court with these with meth heads and stuff.
Exactly.
I get appointed to represent them, when I look at their application, it says applying for disability.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I get people comes in for behind on child support. You know, they're applying for disability and stuff. So I see that group of people. It does.
I mean, I told my husband, I said, it's like if I was, you know, pardon the expression, because I know, you know, addiction is a real thing. But if I was a crack whore, I would get disability.
Oh, yeah. I mean, hey, you'd be
a white woman who's only 49 years old and has multiple sclerosis, has three children, a kid in college. None of that matters.
I know that they don't
consider
it. I
cannot help support my family.
Oh,
that's the things they should be looking at.
Brenda, get really fired up. If you came to, yesterday. I can't remember how many cases there was in district court, like 150, 170. It was an unbelievable amount of cases. It was in there. So as a lot of them, this was their first appearance docket. So they've already been arrested. They've done bonded out. This is where they come to court. Do you know what you charge with? Do you have money, hire a lawyer and all that stuff. So there's a bunch of appointments that went out yesterday. So if you sit in court and looked at all these people that filed, says, hey, I'm waiting on my disability, I don't have no money, and you watching them, the way they dress, the way they walk around, oh, you'd be furious. It infuriates me.
I would be arrested. Yeah. I would be arrested because it has caused such a financial hardship on my family, and it's just sad that, you know, every marker that under MS that qualifies, but yet they deny, which I know they say that's what happens automatically the first time. But to me, that is something that they should look at, is someone's history.
Yeah,
history.
You would think
that.
Would...
She's not a slacker. Yeah. She's not someone just wanting a check. I did not want to have to retire. I loved my job. I loved teaching. And I had to because I kept getting sick.
Yeah.
And that's what's so frustrating, is all the assholes out there that ruin it for those of us that truly need it.
And you would think that maybe the way to fix it is to put priorities on hearings and stuff like that. But unfortunately, I guess you just go with the flow. So it's unfortunate. I see it. It's abused.
And she basically told me it could be a year from now.
Oh yes.
And I filed in May or at the end of May before I was denied, before I even had a hearing. Well, hell, we'll have to file bankruptcy before then. I mean, there's just no way.
It's tough.
So I asked her, I said, I hate to play the nepotism card, but, you know, is there any way that I can get somebody higher up to write a letter or do whatever? And she was just like, no.
She probably told you right. It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
I tell you what really make you mad, and I've seen this, somebody getting Medicaid benefits. All right, so they go to the doctor because they got back pain. They get the Lortab pills.
And sell them.
And sell them. Can you imagine? They're not even having to pay for it, and they're out selling the pills. It's unreal, man. On our dime.
When I was a teacher, and, you know, we had Head Start at one time, you know, I would see these moms show up in their pajamas and then pick their kids up in their pajamas, and I'm thinking, why are you not working? You know, you look able to me. Of course, you know, with MS, I can't say that because it's an invisible disease.
Yes.
You may look great on the outside, but you don't know what's going on inside. But still, you know, a lot of these moms I know could work.
Yep.
But it's like, no, they were sitting home and taking a check. My money, my tax dollars were being paid for that. And now that, like with anything else, now that I need it and it's my money, I can't get it.
You can't get access to it, yep.
The American way.
Yes,
there you go.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Correct.
That shows you how this nation is going to the pots because of things like this right here, amongst multiple other things, because people can't get it right.
Well, they just don't want to. It's just pissing me off.
It's
kind of aggravating because it seems like the system...
I can't hear y'all.
It seems like the system benefits... people that don't want to work, don't want to put forth an effort. You know what I'm saying? We're going to help them get, we're going to give them Pell Grants. We're going to get free education. We're going to help them.
Right.
We're going to feed them. We're going to give them $600-$700 a month in food stamps. We're going to give them free health care. We're going to give them Medicaid. And then we're going to give them housing. Then we're going to give them cell phones. And then we're going to give them money.
I want to work. I mean, I want to work. But I'm scared if I do work, because there's certain things I still can do. You know, I'm an educated person. You know, there's certain things I could do. But I'm scared to work because I'm scared it's going to hurt my disability when it finally does come up, that it shows that I've worked.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'll be praying for you, and I hope things go well, and I hope you get your disability very soon.
Ma'am, thanks, but I'm not going to hold my breath.
Well, you never know. Never know what might happen the very next day. So, but yeah, I agree.
True.
This world.
All right,
is
thanks
crazy.
For listening, guys. And
thanks, Brenda. Yes, ma'am.
See ya.
Bye. This is funny. He'll kill me. I just got a friend for one of my texts. I was talking about I helped set up on the disability, which he deserved it. There ain't no doubt. I mean, he wouldn't have got it if he didn't deserve it up front. But he just told me I can't take. He said if I take his disability away from him, he's gonna whoop something to me. So. I'm glad he's listening. Thank you, sir.
Yes. I know. That's such a tough subject. You know,
it
I mean,
is,
and I've seen people actually get it on their second go-around.
Yes.
So I don't know what the whole deal is because I don't know anything about it. I just know it's screwed up because...
It's the abuse, and it's the whole welfare system, because I remember as a kid... We used to go get the cheese, you know what I'm saying, the commodity stuff. Not a lot, just a few times. Because my mom wasn't working at that time, or she was working at 7-Eleven, I think it was. And it wasn't that much. She didn't make that much money, and he was laid off. So we was put in a position where we had to do it. We didn't have no options. And but it was a very short period of time. I mean, 3 weeks maybe, and it was over with. You know, and we may have done that once or twice in my childhood, and that was it. But we realized it, and it had embarrassed us. So we realized it was a temporary, because that's what welfare is.
Right.
It's a temporary benefit. But now, over the years, it's just become a lifelong benefit,
that's
man.
Time, baby.
You
that's
get
a
on
lifestyle.
It, you get on it, and you're there. You're done. You know, there's no incentive to get you off. Man, I would love to get $700. If you want to send me $700 for food stamps, that would be great. You know what I'm saying?
But I'll take that card in a second.
Yes, well, you could eat good, and I mean, it's unbelievable. But if you do that, and then some of these people, that's, you know, they're like, okay, next month, am I going to get more? Am I going to get more next month? They want more.
Right.
So they, you know, they get hooked in this lifestyle, and if the government would say, no, you're not going to get more, actually, we're going to get less, because our goal is not to feed you for the rest of your life or to provide all this stuff for the rest of your life. Our goal is to get you work, help you through this temporary situation. It's not permanent, and get you productive in this life, but it doesn't do it. But now, listen, I do realize there are people that need it.
Exactly.
But that them people is a very small percentage.
Right. Chiming in an editorial comment, you know, those are the people who are always very interested when the government's going to shut down, too.
Oh, so yeah.
They'll jump right in.
Oh, don't you know it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Keep that government open. I don't care what you got to do.
Yeah.
You're going to take your Obama phone away from you?
Yeah. So, but you know, the mentally disabled, the physically disabled, that you can actually see.
Right.
You know, those people need help. They're a lifelong thing, and I have no problem helping them people out.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? But just a person that says, you know what, I'm not going to contribute to society. I'm going to live off society. That's just makes me sick.
My family done it. I'm going to do it.
My kid's
going to do it.
And it does. It becomes
my baby daddy.
It's a generational thing. It's a generational thing. So. So much for insurance, ain't it? We had a lot of opinions based tonight,
yes.
But I'm glad Brenda brought that out.
I
mean, even though it is a sore subject, it is a topic.
But Melvin, it is what it is.
It is.
Whether you like my opinion or your opinion,
it's the facts. It is the facts.
And that's what this show does. We tell the facts. Whether you like our opinion or not, I don't really care.
Yeah.
Because I'm always going to tell the facts.
Yes, sir.
Understanding the Law. Thank you for being tuned in. Triple Threat in studio. We will catch you next Tuesday at 6 p.m. You can catch Big D on Thursday night, the Big D Radio Show at 6:30 p.m. right here on Live 95.5. We'll catch you next time.
Broadcasting from a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio, WRJMLP, Cullman.